Shus Marina Rav Shlita. Last month we spoke about shatnus. One thing which we did not mention was that if you are wearing shatnus in the street and you discover in the shuk, in the market, that you're wearing shatnus, you have to take it off straight away, however much it's embarrassing. And the halacha goes as far as saying that if somebody else is wearing shatnus, you should take it off them. But there is a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah as to the precise details. But it all lends itself to the question of to what extent does the Torah attach importance to human dignity, kavod habrios. It's not pleasant for a person's dignity to take off clothing in the street. So what are the parameters which we're going to look at today? And I'm going to start off with a story about Bilam. Bilam HaRosha wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. And we all know the story that the donkey spoke to him and gave him a good telling off. And Chazal tell us that straight after the event, Hashem killed the donkey. Why did Hashem do this? Because Bilam would afterwards be embarrassed. People would see the donkey and tease Bilam and go, "Ha ha! You see, this is the donkey which spoke to you and which told you off." And it would embarrass him. People heard about it, so that's the svara. And therefore, Hashem wanted to make sure that Bilam was not going to be embarrassed by the incident. Now you might say, what's going on here? Surely for people to see such a donkey, it's a kiddush Hashem, it was a nace, it was a miracle. But nevertheless, Hashem killed the donkey. Why? So as not to embarrass Bilam. Now Bilam was a Rasha. Bilam was a Nazi, he wanted to do away with the whole of Klal Yisrael. And yet, nevertheless, Hashem was makbid not to punish more than would necessarily be the case, and he was protecting Bilam's dignity. So, another example where we find something quite interesting on this subject of human dignity is if somebody's a gunner, he steals, and he goes and steals animals, so what do we say? That he's got to pay back. If he shechts or slaughters, if he sells or shechts an animal, he's got to pay back four or five times. Shmos kafalof. He's got to pay back four or five times. What does it mean, four or five times? Is it four times or is it five times? So we're told that when it's an ox, it's five times. When it's a ser, which is a smaller animal, which he might carry on his shoulder, that he only's got to pay back four times the amount. Why? Because he's got to suffer the indignity of carrying the animal on his shoulder. Now, what's going on here? If a person wants to steal an animal, well, that's his personal choice. He steals an animal and he's carrying it on his shoulder. It's his own choice to do such a thing. But nevertheless, because he's suffering some indignity from carrying the animal on his shoulder, we lessen the penalty. He's only got to pay back four times as much rather than five times as much. And kavod habrios is a very important subject. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu was very careful when he told us off in Parshas Devarim to hint at the averus that we did and not to speak about them openly, explain Chazal, in order that we're not overly embarrassed. And the whole Churban Beis Hamikdash happened with the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa because of one individual who was put to shame, and that one individual was put to shame led to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. We also find with the story of Korach. Korach, the rebels, they were told to take pans, and they were against Aaron HaKohen, of course, and Aaron won the day, but when it came to collecting up the pans to use them, 250 of them, to use them for some hektish purpose, because they couldn't just be thrown away, it was Elazar who was asked to sort them out, not Aaron HaKohen, because if Aaron HaKohen would have been asked, it would have looked like that Aaron was getting a kick out of it. Aaron was getting the joy out of being able to defeat Korach and his followers. So instead of Aaron being asked to do it, Elazar, his son, was asked to do it. Obviously, Aaron HaKohen would not be gloating on the downfall of his enemy. Been followed, Echo Al Tismach. But nevertheless, to me, it was Elazar. So, when do we say Kavod HaBrios and when don't we? We're going to look at the halakhic aspects as well. Chazal tell us that when it comes to dinim drabonon, then we set aside those dinim in order to make sure that human dignity is protected. For example, to move stones on Shabbos, originally stones were used, smooth stones, for cleaning oneself in the Beis HaKiseh, and if one hasn't got stones, one can move them even though they are muks on Shabbos. Why? Meshum kavod habrios. Similarly, if one's tzitzis have broken and one's in a karmelis, which is a din d'rabbanon relating to carrying, we don't make you take off your talis until you enter a private place in order that you don't suffer the dignity. Now, the Torah does bring certain parameters. In Gemara Brachos Daf Yutes, Toshamite says, God will cover our brios shadoch es lo sase shabatoro. Kavod HaBrios, to honor human dignity, is so important that it would even override a mitzvah lo saseh in the Torah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? How can you override a mitzvah lo saseh in the Torah? The Gemara says, Lema ein chochma ve'ein tzivuna ve'ein etzol neged Hashem. You can't start using your human dignity as your logic when it comes to honoring Hashem. Hashem's dignity surely comes first. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but we really mean lo sosor. What's the lo sasir we're talking about? Lo sosor is that you have to keep to the dinam d'rabbonon. Lo sosor min hadavar she'yagud l'cho. Keep to what they say to you. So the dinam d'rabbonon will be set aside as a result of human dignity, but the dinam d'oraisa won't. The Stechemed and others ask on this because they actually find that there are instances where you might be docha and issa d'oraisa, where you might set aside a mitzvah from the Torah. And a classic example of this is that if you are on your way to performing the Korban Pesach, or if you are on your way to perform a Bris Milah, and you come across a dead body in the street, and there's a din of Meis Mitzvah, then you don't do your Korban Pesach, and you don't do the Bris Milah, until you've done the Meis Mitzvah. Why? Kavod HaBrios. It's human dignity. You can't leave a dead person lying in the street. And we learn this out from the din of Nozir. With a Nozir, he mustn't make himself Tomei like the Kohen. And it says, he mustn't make himself Tomei for his brother and his sister. So the Gemara Darshan's on Noyu Tamo, but it means he is the Tomei for Meis Mitzvah. For Meis Mitzvah, one buries it on the spot, one gives it dignity in order that no dogs come along and eat it and so on. It's human dignity. And therefore you're even setting aside dinim min ha-Torah. And what do we say about Korban Pesach and Bris Milah? They are Isurei Kores. On the other hand, the Gemara then says, and the Poskim say, but that's a sheval tasa. That's sitting and doing nothing, so to speak. Where you're not actively going against a din min ha-Torah, when you're setting aside a lo sase min ha-Torah, it's called sheval tasa. And that comes out from the Gemara. There's another interesting example which comes out from Chazal on a drosha on Hashavas Aveda. If you are finding lost property in the street, you have a mitzvah to return it to its rightful owner. But the Gemara there says that there is a drosha on the word Hisalamto, and you might hide yourself. You mustn't hide yourself from returning lost property. You have to return lost property. But there may be circumstances where your human dignity is so much impaired as a result of performing this mitzvah that the Torah will say, okay, you have a dispensation. What does that mean? That if a Kohen sees a lost property animal and it's in the cemetery, the Kohen is not allowed to go into the cemetery. So he can stay put and he doesn't have to return the animal. Or if one is an old man and one sees a huge heavy sack of potatoes, which is going to be very difficult to return to the owner, so that elderly gentleman has not got a chiyuv to return this sack of potatoes because of kavod habrios. Or you might say, I'm rushing to work and it's my employer's time and I'm going to lose money if I don't go straight away. That also comes under that drosha. So the Pnei Yeshua explains, it means that if the item which is lost property would belong to yourself and you wouldn't even bother about it for yourself, it's not worth your while. Certainly people who drop a one penny coin, they often don't bother picking it up. But if one would not bother because if it's one's own, it's not important enough, that is the svara behind setting aside that din called the Hisalamto. And so there are parameters to be drawn, even on Dinim Daraisa, as to where Kavod HaBrios comes into effect. And you can ask on this question, the lost property. Don't we say, Ein Chochma Ve'ein Tevuna Ve'ein Eitzon HaNeged Hashem? There's no justification of logic to set aside Hashem's Dinim. So we say, oh, well, we got the justification from the Drosha of this Alamtov. Ah, so what about shatnas? Why is it that we said that you take off shatnas even in the street? Why isn't there something to protect human dignity like there is with lost property? So the answer to that is, we don't learn from dinim of mominus onto other dinim, of dinim of isurim. Hashanah Saleda is a dinim too with finance, and we can't learn dinim of finance onto dinim of other isurim.
In fact, with shatnas, I mean, that means drive a man to a woman. You can take a
rip of first of all, we will discuss later the premises, because there's an argument between the Rambam and the Rosh as to whether you tear it off them in the street, or because they're shogeg, you wait till they get home. But I have seen it written that if it is bemazed, according to the Rambam, that is, because he's more strict about it, and if it's bemazed, then one would even remove it from a woman, because we are saving them from an issa kol rega vorega. I know you don't want to be done for assault. And one can tell the woman that she's got the opportunity to take it off herself in the circumstances required. But the issur of shatnas is so great, of kol rega vorega, that it's something one must act upon immediately. So the Pnei Yeshua says that the whole idea of learning out Kavod HaBrios on these cases, he says this in the Gilad Daf Gimel, is that it's a mitzvah of its own. The light we learn out from the Hisalamta is a mitzvah of Hashavas Aleidot, so that is set aside in certain cases by what is another mitzvah. What is that called? It's called Kavod HaBrios. So what if there is a mace in the house? A Kohen is not allowed to be in the same house as a dead body. And every single second the Kohen is there, he's doing an Aveira, and he's got to get out of the house. So it can be rather embarrassing if the Kohen is just getting out of the shower and he's not wearing any clothes. And then where is his human dignity if he's got to run out of the house? Do you tell him that there is a mace in the house, or do you keep silent? So this is really something where we have to understand this argument between the Rambam and the Rosh. Which shatnas? The Rambam says you rip off the shatnas straight away. The Rosh says you wait till the fellow gets indoors. So the Rashbat says it's better to be embarrassed in this world than in the next world. And we say, even a Talmud Chochom. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos Perek Vav Halacha Gimel says that this whole concept of Kavod HaBrios is relating to Avas Yisrael. It's also a concept of Tzelem Elokim, of having respect for others, but that's where the parameters start. So we said that there's a Din Daraisa with shatnas. We said that there's a Din Daraisa that a Kohen has to get out of the house when he's got a mason there. But nevertheless, we said with Bris Milah, with Korban Pesach, there might be something set aside. Why? Because of Sheval Taseh. So it starts from a Yerushalmi in Kilayim. There, in Perek Tes Halacha Beis, there's a Rav Imi who says, don't tear the shatnas off straight away, wait till the fellow gets home, and then tell him. So there's an argument there between the Amoraim. And the Rosh in Nidah, in Perek Tes, in Sif Vov, he says, well, I would prefer to say that the waiting is really on a drabon on here. He quotes from Rav Imi, who's saying, tear it off straight away, or wait till you get home. And there's a different answer between the Rosh and the Rambam. If it's a difference between me and him, if it's on me, then I have to take it off straight away. But if it's on a third party, then I wait till one gets home. There's the difference. So we've got the Rosh going according, sorry, the Ramah goes according to the Rosh, who paskens that way, you wait till he gets home, and you've got the Shulchan Aruch going according to the Rambam, who says take the shatnas off straight away. So the question is this: if you've got to tell the Kohen straight away that there is a mace in the house, And this is brought down in the Shach, the Maharil, and it's in Yerodeah, Siman Shinayin base. The Kohen has to run out of the house even if he's got no clothes on. So how do we reconcile this with the Ramah who says that with Shatnez you wait till the fellow gets home? Surely there is an inconsistency here. If you have to tell the Kohen to take him out of the house straight away, then surely there's a problem of human dignity there, whereas with Shatnez, according to the Rosh and the Ramah, you wait till he gets home. This is a problem quoted by the Chavos Yoyer and the Urim Tumim, and the answer that they give is that with Kohen, although he's got to run out of the house without his clothes on, we don't regard it as such a great bizayo. Why? Because, this is quite amazing, you say we don't regard it as such a great bizayo to his honour. Why? Because everybody there knows that there's a dead person in the house, and people know he's Kohen, so he's running out. Which is a very difficult way of understanding, because onlookers might not know that there's a Kohen in the house, and the poor fellow has to run out without his clothes on. The Urim Tumim says, the Yodur Shaholech Bishvil Tumah. People know that he's running out because of Tumah. Maybe it's academic, because I'm sure the Kohen will be able to snatch a towel on his way out. But it's a very difficult piece to try and resolve. But overall, the idea of Kavod HaBrios is so important that it sets aside all mitzvahs d'rabbanon and several mitzvahs d'oraisa. Meis mitzvah is certainly one thing which we've spoken about already, and the concept of burying the dead also on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, although we don't do it nowadays, there is a din that one is allowed to bury on second day Yom Tov because of Kavod HaBrios. So what are the various Yisurim d'Rabbanon which we might speak about? We've spoken about the stones to clean. If one is outside the Tuchum Shabbos, for some reason, by mistake, one went further than 2,000 cubits outside the town, one was packed, and one needs to go to a Beis HaKisei, one needs to go to the toilet, one may breach the rules of Tuchum Shabbos by going further in order to get to the Beis HaKisei, and then one may walk away from it, even though one should keep within one's Daladamas, one may walk away from it, in order that then you're in a position where you can learn Torah or whatever, so there's Kavod HaBrios involved. These suspensions also apply to non-Jews as well, where you have a din like of Meis Mitzvah, because it's Kavod HaBrios. We're talking about people who are Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim means every single person, Jew or non-Jew, is created in the image of God, and so human dignity applies to all mankind. Now, what if a person's father is an apostate? So there is a din that when that person is called up to the Sefer Torah, you don't call him by his name with his father's name, you call him by his name with his grandfather's name, because his father is Geshmatayid, he's married out or whatever, and so we don't want to give any cover to his father. But what if that's embarrassing for the son? What if the son feels wholly ashamed of the fact that he's being called up with the name of his grandfather? This is brought in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Lamed Tes, in the Ramah, the Trumas Hadesh, in Siman Kaf Aleph, and the Shutz Maharam Mipadva, Siman Pei Zayin, says that in those circumstances, when the person requests it, even though his father is an apostate, we call him up with his father's name. Why? In order that he should not be unduly embarrassed. In the same way, there is a din that one does not sit in avelus for someone who has committed suicide. It's such a big avera that we do not sit shiva for somebody who committed suicide. Ah, so what about if the family are extremely embarrassed about this and they don't want to suffer the shame of the fact that that's happened? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh Shem Mem Hei and the Chasam Sofer in Yerodeh Shem Kaf Vav says one sits shiva. One does behave as though nothing unusual had happened in order that the family are not going to be embarrassed. In practical terms, nowadays, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa asks the question as to what if a person is in a toilet on Shabbos and there is no torn, ready toilet paper, and it's highly embarrassing, Kavod HaBrios is at stake, what does one do? Tearing is a malacha of Shabbos. You can't tear on Shabbos in any constructive form. So he says that if there's nothing else available, well, certainly the first thing one might use is other paper, like writing paper, but if that's not available, then one will tear the toilet paper, but with a shinoi, with a different way which one normally does, because when it's done with a shinoi, an unusual way, then it's not an issa malacha d'oraisa, it's an issa d'rabbanon. And what is the unusual way? One might tear with one's feet, or one does not tear at the serrated edges. One shouldn't think that because at the serrated edges one is tearing less. Since that's the normal way of tearing, that's the way one should avoid. And one would tear, say, with one's feet at in an unusual way, where it's not serrated, in order that kovod habrios is not dispensed with. The honour and dignity of a person is regarded as very important. So it's not just then to others, kovod habrios, it's also to oneself, hence we spoke about tichum. But what if one is doing a mitzvah, and one is doing a mitzvah where people are scoffing at you? Do we apply the rule there of kovod habrios, that you avoid the mitzvah because people are laughing at you? And the answer to that is, of course not. In order to do a mitzvah, it's a kovod for you to perform a mitzvah to honor Hashem, and there's no dispensation whatsoever. If people are laughing at you, well, that's part of the reward that you're going to get if you are suffering scoff and torment as a result of doing a mitzvah.
It depends if he's like a yukla, if he's doing it to impress people or to make out.
If a person's doing it to impress people and not because it's a mitzvah, then he shouldn't do it at all. He should do it privately. It's not a mitzvah to do things from showing off. Last week we were celebrating Hanukkah, and in the Hilchos Chanukah it says that one really should be lighting outside one's front door or one's garden gate, and you might say, well, is that showing off? But that's the mitzvah. There's an interesting Dabar Be'itto, Rav Mordechai Sasson of Baghdad, who quotes the Ramah, who says, "V'shas hasakona, at times of danger, manichal shulchan over dayo." You put it on your table in your living room, and that's good enough. You don't have to then light outside, because there's danger out there. There are hooligans out there. So he interprets this Ramah in another way. He says, "V'shas hasakona, when there is a danger to your gaiva, to your ego, that you are becoming big-headed, v'shas hasakona, don't put it outside. Don't show off to everybody your mitzvahs. Manichal shulchano. Just put it on your kitchen table, v'dayo, and that is good enough. But don't make a big hoo-ha." The interesting thing in halacha is that one is allowed to demonstrate to others when one is giving tzedakah, because that will encourage others to give tzedakah. So it's a correct thing for a philanthropist to show these giving tzedakah in order to encourage others to give tzedakah. So there is a balance to be struck. Yes?
And in real Sakana, that would also take place when there were pogroms in the place.
Yeah, that's what the Ramon means, but Pashtus. The literal meaning is that if there are pogroms, then you don't do these things on the open. In order to understand fully this idea of there's no embarrassment in doing a mitzvah, I think the classic example on this is the Trumas Hadeshen. What is the Trumas Hadeshen? Apart from a perush, apart from one of the poskim of the Acharonim, Trumas Hadeshen in Pashtus Tzav is that Aaron HaKohen, what was he reserved for? What honour was Aaron HaKohen given? To sweep up the ashes. To sweep up the ashes. To sweep up the mess. The very first mitzvah in the morning, when you come into the Mishkan, is to sweep up the ashes. And who is this mitzvah given to? Aaron HaKohen. Or later on, the Kohen Gadol. Gemara Yerushalmi in Shabbos, in the 10th Perek, Halacha Gimel, talks about this. V'heirim Esadeshen, Ein gedula v'platin shel melech. There is no greatness which you can assume for yourself, no haughtiness and pride in the palace of the king. Why? Because you are the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the Sfas Emes says, Al HaTorah, he says, every single korban is dependent on this Haromas Hadeshen. It's a Yerida L'Tzurich Aliyah. You're going down in order to go up. And he says, "He ikar hakorban." This is the main aspect of bringing the offering, to sweep up the ashes first. And I once walked into a certain shul in Golders Green, and the rabbi of the shul was sweeping the floor with a broom. And I went up to him. I said, "You're the rabbi of the shul. You know, it's not right. Let me do it. Let me take it." He said, "No, no. This is the greatest kavod. that somebody can sweep up the shul is the greatest honor of all. It's just like the Trumas Hadeshet. And so when it comes to Avodas Hashem, yeah, I'd like to see Her Majesty's coalition government doing these things. And so Chazal tell us about the various Rabbonim who did the menial tasks in preparing for Shabbos. Gemara Shabbos Kuf Yotes, it talks about Rav Chista, who cut up the vegetables, Rabbi and Rav Yosef, who chopped the wood, Rabbi Zera lit the fire, Rabbi Nachman tidied up the house. Nobody should say it's below their dignity to do these tasks, which are in the preparation of a mitzvah, Shabbos or any other. So, when it comes to doing mitzvahs, and the Rambam writes that he writes at the end of Hilchas Lulav, that when you're doing a mitzvah, you should have such simcha in doing it, even if people are scoffing at you. A simcha avoda gedolohi, v'achol hamegis da'ato v'cholet kovod la'atzmo chote v'shote. And the person who wants to attribute honor to himself, rather than do a mitzvah, is a sinner and a fool. So that's putting it in perspective. Now, other halachas, we've got an interesting idea that when we fix the calendar, there's a rule about Rosh Hashanah, lo adu rosh, it's not allowed to fall on certain days of the week. Adu means Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. And the result is that if you breach this rule, then you will have Yom Kippur falling on a Friday or a Sunday. And one of the reasons given is because of burying the dead. We do not want to leave a corpse lying unnecessarily for a long period of time. So if somebody is nifter just before Yom Kippur starts, and then you've got Yom Kippur, and then you've got Shabbos, and you can't do the burial until the Sunday, it's not kavod habrios. So as a result of that, one of the reasons Hazal made this rule about fixing the calendar was kavod habrios, to honour the dead, that they shouldn't have to wait so long to be buried. Well, the Friday is not Midaraisa. The Friday is a Yom Tov Sheni. And it's interesting because we're fixing Yom Hadin. I mean, Yom Kippur is the day that we're being judged. And we are adjusting the day of Yom Kippur simply in order that human dignity is protected. Another idea is brought in the Brochus Perktes Mishnah Hay in the Baal Tanura, that a person should always ask a person, how are you? And it's good to mention Hashem's name, Hashem Itcho, God be with you. And we learn this out from Boaz, who quoted the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was greeting his shepherds. And you might say, isn't this taking Hashem's name in vain? But because of Kavod HaBrios, in order to give respect to other people, other human beings, Jew or non-Jew alike, one quotes God's name, and it's not regarded as taking his name in vain. Other examples, the din of Bikurim is one where you have to bring a basket of your first fruit with a declaration. And there were some people who come along and they were not able to say or read the declaration. So it was ruled that somebody is saying it for them, so as not to embarrass those who are unable to say it.
Chassan doesn't say the first two brachas under the chuppah.
Chassan doesn't say the first two brachas under the chuppah. And even if he knows Hurry Up Mekudeshishli by heart, we have the practice that it's prompted to him because there are those who don't know. But what's interesting is that even the repetition of the Shemona Esrei is founded because of this reason. The Chazan repeats the Shemona Esrei aloud, the Chazar Sashat. Why is that done? Because there are people in the Tzibur who might not know how to say the Shemona Esrei. Some might know, some won't know, in order not to put to shame those people who don't know. So we have the Chazaras HaShatz. And the Rambam writes that Chazaras HaShatz is the Ikat Tfilah B'Tzibur. That is the main communal prayer. Important to note when, lots of things are going on and stock of boxes are being shaken and people are chatting about things, that in the Chazaras HaShatz, that is the main Tfilah B'Tzibur. Why? So as not to embarrass those who do not know how to say the Shemona Esrei properly. And The laning is also an idea, because really, when you're called up to the Sefer Torah, you should be laning it yourself. When you make your brachas, so you should lane it, but there are some people who don't know. So the Rosh says in Megillah Chafalof that the reason why we get one person to lane the whole lot is not to embarrass those who are unable to. So a person must be prepared to lower himself to do the mitzvahs, but we got these precautions which Chazal built in very neatly into various dinim in order to make sure that people are not going to be left embarrassed. If one is a poor person and one needs to go knocking on doors, that's an embarrassment. So Chazal ruled that only for those mitzvahs which are parsumei nisa does a poor person have to go knocking on the door. What does that mean? Ner Chanukah, the oil for the Chanukah light, and the four cups of wine on Seder night. Those are called parsumei nisa. There is another one I was about to say. Shum Shalom Bayis, Ner Shabbos. A person knocks on the door for money in order to have Ner Shabbos. But you won't find any other mitzvah saseh, even tzitzis, even tefillin, where a poor person is asked to go knocking on the door. Why? Because of kavod habrios. We want to protect as much as possible the dignity of the poor. But when there is a court case, and we need even a choshev mensch, even a talmid chacham to come along and testify, even though that talmid chacham might feel it's below his dignity to testify in a beis din. For example, a woman wants to remarry, and he knows that the husband is still alive. He's got a duty, however much it might affect his dignity, to go along to the Beis Din and to testify. Similarly, if you have a mitzvah of tochacha, where you have a mitzvah to tell somebody off, in the nicest possible way, of course, for doing an aveira, one doesn't say, I'm embarrassed to tell off. There is a mitzvah to tell off, to give tochacha. Otherwise, you're doing the issa, it's as if you're doing the issa yourself. Gemara Shabbos Daf Nun Dalet. So again, we've got parameters. When we spoke about suspending the mitzvahs of Bris Milah and Kavod Pesach in order to make mitzvah, there are some who say that this only applies to these mitzvahs which are short and temporary, where you'll be able to do them afterwards fairly quickly. But if it's something where you have an issur which is hanging over you every single second, and the example there is chometz on Pesach, if you've got to get rid of your chometz and you've only got a couple of minutes to do so, then you should get rid of the chometz and then do the meis mitzvah, because the issur of chometz will be hanging on you every. But there is an argument though about this in a number of places that you do your meis mitzvah and then see to your chometz. Yes. Then you do the chometz first. But there is an argument about it. The halacha there seems to be because kol rega varega, that issa is hanging on you. You do that. You sort that out first, and then you do the meis mitzvah. Now there are some times when kavod habrios is never suspended. Lo samad al dam reicha. The person is drowning, and you're worried you're going to get yourself all dirty and muddy and your best clothes and it'll harm your dignity. There's no such thing as covered up for yours there. You jump in and you save the fellow, whoever it is, Jew or non-Jew. Even if it's a lady, you're called a chosid shoter, a righteous fool, if you say, no, I'm not going to save her life because it's a woman. And it includes non-Jews as well. And if there's a chilul Hashem, you don't suspend kavod habrios. Like we said, you don't suspend it for burial. And also for bikur cholim, to visit the sick, one mustn't say it's below my dignity to visit such a person. If you have a chance to do bikur cholim, then you visit. And if you don't visit, it's kedush shoteich domim, says the Gemara in the Dorim Mem Aleph. An interesting question is, what about kibbutz of a, honouring parents? What if you are asked to do something by your parents which you feel will be very harmful to your dignity? Now, I don't know, I can't imagine of an example what might harm your dignity, but, you know, a dirty car to be washed is probably the worst thing you could be asked for, to take out the rubbish, repair the sewer, I suppose. and there are rats in the sewer, and your father asks you to repair the sewer, and you feel it's a bit unreasonable. Do you have a mitzvah to listen to your parent, or do we say that kavod abrios overrides and you don't have to conform to the request? This leads to an understanding of what kavod avim really is about, because if you're asked to do something which is totally ridiculous, like you're asked to marry somebody, or you're told don't marry somebody, that's not kavod avim to listen. The mitzvah is to explain nicely in a dignified way why you cannot comply with that request. So you bring your dad his pipe and his slippers and his paper, and you explain to him in a very respectful way, listen, I'm sorry, but I can't really, I really feel that this is the right zivug for me, and I'm going to marry her. I'm not going to marry her, or I will become a doctor, or I won't become a doctor. These are the sorts of conflicts which can arise. And so the Poskim say that when it comes to kavod avim, kavod abrios can override. It can override. The Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes says, It's better for a person to enter a furnace of fire than to put somebody else to shame, than to embarrass somebody else. And we learn this really from the story of Tamar. Tamar was prepared to die with fire rather than put Yehuda to shame, even though she would rather die in the fire than put Yehuda to shame. There's also a story of Mar Ukva in Gemara Ksuva, son of Zion. He didn't want a poor person to see him giving him money. He was running away from a poor person because the poor person was very curious as to who was giving him the tzedakah. And Mar Ukva knew that if the poor person knew that it was he who was giving, it would embarrass the poor guy. So he ran off and even ran into an oven. Now you might ask the question, if that's the case, we say that you have to be prepared to give up your life, Yarav Vayavo, on three cardinal sins, Gilaroyos, Shvichastomim, and Avodah Zarah. If you are prepared to give up your life for those three things, why doesn't it also list in those cardinal sins Kavod Abrios, not to embarrass somebody else, not to put somebody to shame? Obviously you're not allowed to put somebody to shame. And we spoke before about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa as to why we're now in Golus. Well, I found a number of answers. The Lashon used in the Gemara is Noach lo la'odom shi'apel atzmo l'tokiv shanoesh. It doesn't say chayav, it doesn't say you're duty bound to go into the fire, but it's correct. It's the fit and proper menschlich thing to do. But it doesn't say chayav, so it's just one step short of the three cardinal sins. But there's another answer, and that is this. The three cardinal sins are not the only sins for which one might be prepared to give up one's life. The Gilaroa, Shri'chastom, Avodah Zorah. There are other mitzvahs which the Torah gives us, but which are not so explicit about giving up one's life. And a classic example of that is Kibush Eretz Yisrael. The Torah says you have a mitzvah to conquer the land of Israel. Well, obviously, if you're going to have a mitzvah to conquer the land of Israel, inevitably somebody might die in the process. And one has to be prepared to give up one's life for Eretz Yisrael. That's not one of the three cardinal sins, but is another factor which will be Yarav Vayavav. A further example is Kiddush Hashem. If the government of the day make a decree that all Jews are going to do whatever, and it's something which goes against the grain of our faith, such as Shabbos, we had this with the story of Hanukkah. So if they say that from now on Jews may not keep Shabbos, even though you may break Shabbos, you should break Shabbos in order to save life, if this is an issue of Kiddush Hashem, and there's an anti-Semitic edict that we may not keep Shabbos, then we have to be prepared to give up our life to keep Shabbos. So that's a fifth example. So then you've got the sixth example of Kavod Abrios. Tov Hashem Rakov Racham Aval Kol Masov. Hashem is sensitive to everybody. And hence we spoke about even Bilam HaRosha being a person who Hashem was sensitive to, that he should not be overly embarrassed from the fact that this donkey had spoken to him with Tochocha. And it's interesting because we've got now an idea of the parameters of Kavod Abrios, because the Torah Hashem, Torah Hashem is Tumimo, the Torah Hashem is perfect, and we are given the guidelines by the Torah to know when to set aside certain rules and when not to. We can't behave in one extreme to say you have to keep everything as prescribed and ignore Kavod Abrios, and we can't go the other way like Reform, who will say, well, this is not convenient, that's not convenient, and we'll dispense with it. We've got to know what that balance is, and that's why we need the Torah. It's no good just to have a Human Rights Act to say that everything is set aside in order to protect human rights. The Torah gives us a framework, and that's why without the Torah Sashem Tamima, we would not know what is the right derech in life, to follow the Torah and to follow the will of Hashem. Thank you very much.